Would you turn with me for our short moment this morning to the words we read in our second portion of God's Word from Psalm 91 and at verse 5. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. And I'm taking these words simply to highlight the Christian's inheritance, safety and security that we have now. There is always a balance, and we try to emphasize it and to retain it. There is always a balance between the things in the future and in the present in our Christian teaching and message. The central theme of the gospel deals with important and urgent spiritual matters. We constantly, and every church in our land today, must focus upon our relationship with God. It must emphasize and highlight whatever destination we're going to warn people sitting and standing upon the walls, to sound a trumpet to those who are on the broad road that goes down to destruction. We must always remind ourselves that we are going to be assessed by God, and that we are accountable to God. We must always remind ourselves of the unique spiritual problem that's not out there in society, but is in here in our soul, that we are sinners, a unique problem. And the central theme of the gospel addresses the unique solution to that problem, in the coming and the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're confronted here with eternity, and we're challenged. Are we ready to face it and to meet it? Spiritual truths must be held before our minds, which on other days and in other places and with other people, these very same spiritual truths are squeezed tightly, trying to remove them from our minds. Some of the themes about our gospel message, focusing especially upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the Saviour of sinners. All of the consequences, all of the applications as we think of facing God. We are called to put our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ, and we're called to commit our souls to His keeping. We've got to keep that uppermost, and we must not allow that to be overwhelmed, diluted, or to be distracted from it. But that does not exhaust the benefits or the blessings that God has for His people. Yes, there is the future blessing of things we've been talking about and highlighting and summarizing. There's the future there and then. But there are also blessings here and now. Very precious and very comforting applications and lessons for the believer. Right here. Right now. The Christian believer has a resource not just simply to cope with all that life throws at us, but to overcome all that life has for us. And that's what I want to come to in verse 5 of Psalm 91. Because there the psalmist pictures two very vivid situations. First of all, there's the hostile and there's the deadly one, of the arrow that flies by daytime. That's all that it means. The dangers of so many different varieties, shapes and forms that can come at you and me through the daytime. Suddenly, unexpectedly. And then he moves on from the daytime to the nighttime, when we're alone with our thoughts. And some of these thoughts can be fearful and frightening, no less than the terror of the nighttime. Our job has gone. The family circle has been broken with death coming in. Serious illness has been identified and made known to us. We are made aware of just how short and just how weak our life is. Perhaps we're confronted with the things wrong, the things that we've done that are wrong. And they cause that terror to come upon us when we're alone with our thoughts. After the day's work is over and we're on our own with ourselves, the things of eternity and the things of God break into our thinking. Alone, in the dark, our mind plays them over and over and over again, and terror grips us, and we're dripping sweat. We're scared, and we're shaken to the core of our being. Our life seems to be falling apart. Now that's not an unusual description that we've given. That's something that is repeated in society today countless times. But if that's the experience of people today, then we are quite entitled to ask this question: what's the challenge and what's the gospel got to say to that person? What has the gospel got to say by way of comfort to somebody who's going through that kind of experience, where life seems to be falling apart, when the sweat grips us and the terror possesses us? Can we cope? Putting ourselves on the spot this very moment, can you and I cope with that kind of situation in a way that is dignified and profitable? Here we have it set out for us. Here we have the gospel, God's word, addressing that very kind of situation. And it's that which I want us to think of briefly this morning. But as for the first thing I want to say, it's this. There is no exception to the Christian believer from the ordinary everyday affairs and troubles of life. Because we believe in God, and because we have made Him our Lord and our Savior, because He is the Redeemer of our soul, that does not mean that we are given immunity to the problems of life. In fact, the reality is that when we become Christian and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not that our problems go away and get lesser. It's the opposite. Problems get more intense and more often in our lives. Because we must never forget the spiritual aspect of our life. People today have shut out any spiritual thinking and they are content where they are. But the Christian, we take a moral and a spiritual stand. We speak in the name of our Lord and we seek to live for Him. And as soon as we take that stand, we are opposed by the devil, by all of his minions. We are constantly underneath his sight, and every weakness in us will be exploited by him. The Bible puts it quite simply as a conflict between light and darkness. That spiritual interpretation of life as it is today. The Lord himself had to fight against these forces of darkness. And he says and he promises to everyone who will follow him, it is going to be no different for you. But And this is important. Although there is no protection from these difficulties, we've said there's no immunity. Although there is no protection from these difficulties, there is nevertheless the assurance of preservation in these difficulties. Let me put that together that we can remember it. There is no protection from the difficulties, but there is the assured preservation in the difficulties. We go through the same troubles and problems as others round about us. And that is an opportunity for a silent witness. Because the Christian can draw upon the resources that are ours in our God, and the way in which He has made promises and made available to us power and wisdom and strength suitable and appropriate for every need that we face. That's the problem, and there's the solution. And as we take God at His word and trust in Him, so we are not only able to cope, but we are able to overcome. Notice what it says just in this verse 15. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. There you have it. The psalmist isn't given a green channel to get to heaven wrapped in cotton wool. But the Christian believer is thrown into the midst of all the troubles and the problems that everyone else has to face. And here we're told, I will call upon him. I will call upon the Lord and he will answer me. And the Lord will be with me in trouble. I want us to think of Isaiah chapter 43. It gives it to us very simply like this. Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 2. Verses 1 and 2. But now thus says the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. For I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. God is putting down a marker that he is going to look after and care for his people because they're precious to him. He's redeemed them. They are his. Don't be afraid. And having given the principle and the commitment, he then goes on in the very next verse to say this. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, thou shalt not be burnt. Neither shall the flame kindle upon you. Water and fire there can be taken to represent extreme danger. And therefore we're told here, we're not given exemption from any of these difficulties. But whenever they come, in whatever form they take, however the knock comes on the door of your life and mine, and whatever visitor comes in to be with us for a time, hard providences, difficulties, bad news or trouble, whatever be the conflection, the Lord is with his own. And he sets a limit on what we've got to face. And he ensures our survival at the end. That's what we're told there in Isaiah 43. The principle and the specific examples. And whenever you move from there right into the very passage we read, and that's why we read it in Daniel chapter 3. Daniel gives us a very specific example. We're told there in Isaiah 43, the fire shall not kindle upon you. Very well, Daniel chapter 3. The decree went out, everyone's got to bow when Nebuchadnezzar gave the signal. Daniel didn't. For other people, there was no problem in doing it. But Daniel had a problem. Problems that come for Daniel, for the Christian, Who do we serve? Who will Daniel serve? And of course there was that great consternation seen on the face of that King Nebuchadnezzar. When he saw that Daniel wouldn't bow, he was incandescent with rage. And he says, heat it up. And do you think, Daniel, that your God is going to protect you from that fire? There was a challenge given to them, to Daniel and his friends, yes. But there was also a challenge put before God in verse 15 of that chapter 3. Do you think God is going to save you? His reputation was on the line. Who therefore was going to survive? Who therefore was going to come out winners in this confrontation? They weren't spared it. They had to go through it. But they came out the other side. And look at the detail. And it's beautiful the way in which the Lord gives us little things just to emphasize what he's done for these people. There wasn't even the smell of smoke on their clothes. You go when you're burning anything, be it the grass just now, be it peat or whatever. You go downwind of that kind of fire and very quickly you'll get the smell off your clothes. But here, there wasn't even the smell of their clothes. They weren't protected from going in, but they were kept safe and taken out. No exception. So therefore the question comes to ourselves, let's just pause there. Would I, would we stand up, speak out? Or would we mix in and bow down? We're called upon to take a Christian stance in so many things in society, to raise a Christian voice. Silence is the comfortable option to take sometimes, but we're not allowed to. We've got to speak up, no matter what it brings upon us. And we do it knowing that God cares for us. There's a great promise given in the Bible, and we need to hold on to it whenever we're in a tight corner on the side of the Lord. God's word simply says this: they that honour me, I will honour them. If you take a stance for God, and if you stand up and speak up in his name, God is not deaf or blind to what you're doing. But God will see to it that you're kept safe as his minister or representative or believer. No exception. Hold on to that promise. They that honour me, I will honour them. But then, the second thing I want us to think in this passage is not only the no exception, but I want also to think then secondly of the protection that is given here. What exactly is promised in this verse 5? What exactly is it that God will do for his people? And that's where we've got to be careful to define what God is saying. We've got to be careful to note what God is promising. We are not given, like we said, exceptions from the troubles that are round about us that other people have to face. But also, we're not given exception from the weaknesses and the frailties in our own humanity. We can be handicapped, physically handicapped, disfigured. We can be ill bodily or mentally. There are limitations that come upon us. And death waits for every one of us without exception if the Lord does not come in the interval. But, and again we put this in, But through all the difficulties of life, and as we have to face death, we are spared, if we are believers, of the paralyzing fear and the weighty concern that comes upon our life and robs life of every drop of joy. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terrors of the night. Darkness bears down upon us. Things change then. We become very introspective. We become composed and taken up with ourselves. We're alone. And as our mind runs over and over and over what we've just been told, what we've discovered, what's come to us, the terrors of the night are a real danger and possibility. But God places His protection around His own against any of that experience breaking in upon them. Again, what God says in Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3. Though thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah, and it's in uppercase letters, in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Hold on to that. Everlasting strength. The promise there that God will be peace to his people. That's not just simply empty words. That's not just simply a vain promise. You read in the very next verse the way in which it is backed up by the commitment of Almighty God. His wisdom and his power will ensure this to be the experience of every one of his believing children and every member of his family of faith. We will be kept in perfect peace. Peace, peace is what it says. Complete peace. There will be that wholesomeness. There will be that full-orbed tranquility and serenity. No matter how the ripples might break upon the shore of life, yours and mine, they will not get any further than the shore, because God says peace. And they won't get up the shore to intrude into your life. To whom then do you belong? We're going through it. We've got to ask the question, to whom do you belong? Are you trusting in the Lord like that passage in Isaiah speaks of? Whose mind is stayed on him. Again, taking the crofting illustration. When the cow is put out into the field, it's put on a big stay. And that is the marker for the roaming of the cow and all the grass that it eats that day. It cannot move beyond that circumference and circle of the chain or the rope on the stick, on the back and on his neck. It's the same when we stay our thought and our hope and our trust in the Lord, settled, fixed, based on our knowledge of him and what he's told us in his word. When we trust in him like that, the circle of our life goes round him. And he will keep us from all danger. And he will keep us in perfect peace. And as you go through different circumstances in life, repeating that kind of situation from time to time. When you put God to the test in different situations through life, that strengthens our faith and our commitment in him. The first time we do it, we might be very apprehensive. But we find that God indeed kept us safe. And the next time a similar situation develops, we draw on the last one and say, yes, that's what God did then. This is what God's going to do now. And that peace keeps us again. Let me just, again, the best way is to focus on Scripture. Think of Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6 reads like this. Be careful for nothing. Don't let the drip of anxiety get to your soul. Don't let the terrors of the night spoil your sleep. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And what's the consequence? And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The word that is used there, shall keep your hearts and mind, is the word that will be used for a sentry on guard duty. The peace of the Lord Jesus Christ is there guarding every one of his people. But again, that's the principle that is set out for us. That's the words. But again, like we said in Isaiah 43 and Daniel chapter 3, let's take Philippians 4, and the words are there, but where do we find them illustrated? Where can we go to find them in practical effect? Again, the best, and I say it deliberately, the best illustration we can possibly have is John 17 and verse 12. John 17, that familiar passage often referred to as the Lord in prayer, the high priestly prayer of our Lord. And there in John 17 and verse 12, he says this, the Lord himself, when I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. I kept them. The Lord there safely preserving and keeping all of the disciples, all of his people. You see them as you know them. The difference of character, of temperament, the way they would react and respond in different ways to things the Lord said to them. Fishermen, tax collectors, and all the rest. And the Lord kept every one of them safe. He will keep every one of us safe likewise, surrounded as we are with the power of God. Or again, the protection we have, Psalm 46. It was one of the Psalms that Luther and Melanchthon often went back to. They were in the height and the depth of a battle in the Reformation. And oftentimes they would go back to this Psalm. The psalm describes the life of a person falling apart big time. Falling apart big time. All of the things cracking up. All of the things falling in upon themselves. Everything was imploding or exploding. But it was big time. The same kind of effect that is behind the terrors of the night. Afraid on a big scale. What is it therefore that Psalm 46 speaks to us and tells us to do? What is God's advice and counsel to us when we're in that kind of a situation? He says to us, be still and know that I am God. Yes, you've just got that and it's bad news, big time. Your world is falling apart. God is saying, I care for you. Be still and know that I am God. And he loves his people in the most amazing of ways. Sometimes we think we've got the edge of it. Sometimes we think we've found the limit. Sometimes we think we've got the bottom. And we can safely assume that yes, that's how big and that's how wide and that's how fresh God's love is. We think we've got the measure. And then something happens that makes us go outside that envelope. And we see yet bigger and deeper and richer is God's love to us. He does indeed protect us. And He protects us in the most extreme of situations and settings. Let me just, before we move on, I want to come to one vital thought for 2 or 3 minutes. But I cannot but put a test before every one of us today. Jeremiah chapter 12 and verse 5 is the test. There Jeremiah says, well, how do you cope with the little things? And if you cannot cope with the little things, how are you going to cope with the big things? Simply put, that's what he's saying. How can you cope with the big things if you cannot cope with the little things? Coping with the problems that come to us today. They might leave us utterly beaten, flattened, and deflated. And if that's what happens now, how are we going to cope when we face bigger things like eternity and God? Two minutes and we're finished. Let me just simply mention who these promises and this comfort belongs to. Who's entitled to these words of comfort this morning? We're told here, the Lord is my refuge. To say that the Lord is our refuge is poor comfort indeed. It's tantalizing, it's holding something out there, but we're not reaching it, not getting into it. But here the psalmist is saying, not only the Lord is our refuge, but he's saying the Lord is my refuge. He's entered in himself. It's personal. It's private. It's individual. The Lord is my refuge. People today are not slow at telling us what they believe. People today are not slow at telling us what other faiths require and would have of us as a Christian society. And we've got to turn around and say, well, look, you're telling me what you have. I'm now going to tell you what I have. God is my refuge, the living and the true God. He is my habitation. Habitation is a place we go to rest. It's like our home. After work, we're there, we relax, we unwind. It's a place we go to. It's not transient, it's not temporary. It's where we go, a dwelling place for rest and relax and unwind. There we can meet with our God. The Lord is my habitation. Question then is he yours? We have to have that personal commitment. We have to have that personal commitment to the Lord, trusting in him, relying upon him. We must be able to say that he is my refuge, my fortress, my shield, my buckler. Time and again, the requirement, that personal commitment to the Lord. Terror comes. The terror of the night strikes. Conviction of God working in our soul might come upon us. Yes, if that happens, how do we get rid of that fear and that terror? How can we meet that fear and terror? Only through Jesus Christ and his cross. The spiritual inheritance, safety and blessing of God's own people. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. The only way these words can be true of us is with our commitment to God. Is he then my refuge? Let us pray. Our Lord, our God, we bless thy name for the way in which thou art indeed close and nearby to thy people, for the way in which thou art with them in all of their circumstances, and thou wilt never leave them nor abandon them. There are times when we are not conscious as we ought of that nearness or of that presence, but that does not remove the reality from us. And there are so many situations that we will see only in reflection of heaven, when thou art there right beside us to provide for us or to protect us in moments of great need. May we therefore be comfortable and content with thee, our God, and in our faith in thee, trusting upon thee. And we pray, Lord, that we might, in these days that are ahead, no matter what they hold, may we face them trusting in and looking to thyself. And for those, O Lord, who do not have such a comfort, may the very providences that come upon them revive these very thoughts in their memory and bring them through to faith and trust in Christ for themselves. In thy grace, hear us. Deal with us in thy mercy. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. We close by singing from Psalm 37 and at verse 34. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and thee exalt shall he. The earth to inherit when cut off, the wicked thou shalt see. I saw the wicked great in power, spread like a green bay tree. Past ye was not, him I sought but found, he could not be. Mark thou the perfect and behold the man of uprightness, because that surely of this man the latter end is peace. But those men that transgressors are shall be destroyed together. The latter end of wicked men shall be cut off forever. Psalm 37 and 34 to 38. Wait on the Lord.